It's hour number two of Midday with Trey and BK. Coming up this hour at 11:45, an incident at an LA Fitness in Virginia has us pondering the unwritten rules of pickup basketball. 11:30, it's Tinder time. What's one of today's headlines, Wags?
Julio Jones, not pleased. He wants a raise, and I don't think it's coming to him.
And I hope that we also get to hear about Manny Machado as well.
I don't know. We're boycotting Machado.
This is the one day to not boycott Machado. Hashtag free Machado.
And in mere minutes, take a look around the NFL and college football, including Larry Fedora really stepping in it yesterday, and the Rams extending Brandon Cooks. I'm Trey Elling, Brad Kellner sitting across from me, Adam Wagner behind the glass today. Text us, the Specs text line is 337-3776. Give us a follow on Twitter. I am at Courtesy Wave. He is at Brad Kellner, and he is at Not the Fake Wags, BK.
Yes, sir. A lot to unpack from the NFL, Trey. We always do the countdown to Texas Longhorn football, and rightfully so, right? We're the flagship station for the University of Texas. Everybody in Central Texas excited for the return of college football and Texas Longhorn football in particular. But, hey, people are excited for the NFL. And yesterday the countdown hit 50 days away. And now we're at 49 days from the return of the NFL season when the defending champion Philadelphia Eagles will raise it.
That still really hurts you.
It'll always hurt me, man. That's like the one thing I've had as a Cowboys fan in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Is that whenever Eagles fans try to come talk any trash, it's like, you guys don't have any rings. I know the Cowboys all have rust on them and they're all old. You guys don't have anything. How are you talking any trash right now? And, of course, they're the defending champs. And my rule is, you've got a year. When you're the defending champs, you get unlimited amounts of trash talk. And no one can say anything to you. But some NFL news and nuggets to unpack. We'll start with Brandon Cooks. We'll get to this real quick before we get into the state of the league, if you will. Brandon Cooks, who was traded this offseason from the New England Patriots over to the Los Angeles Rams, one of the many acquisitions made by Sean McVay and company over in L.A. this offseason. Cooks and the Rams agreed to a five-year, $80 million extension yesterday. Brandon Cooks had a very solid career so far. He's 4 years in the National Football League. Three times he has had more than 1,000 yards receiving. Seven touchdowns last year, 1,082 yards on only 65 catches working with Tom Brady and the Patriots. But he's off to the Rams right now. Brandon Cooks, seems like the sky's the limit for this guy. He's still very young. He'll be entering his age 25 season this year, so you don't have to worry about I'm starting to lose a step or anything like that. But there's something about Brandon Cooks that isn't adding up, Trey. I just mentioned all the success that he's had, and he's been able to play on two really good teams, the New Orleans Saints with Drew Brees, Hall of Fame quarterback, and, of course, the Patriots with Tom Brady. I'm a little scared that two teams have already traded Brandon Cooks and not necessarily gotten a whole lot back in return.
Yeah,
there's got to be something there. I don't know if it's a locker room thing. I don't know. You know, I know every team has different situations, right? The Saints drafted Michael Thomas, who turned into a very serviceable number one receiver. The Patriots tend to let guys go all the time in weird fashions. But the fact that he's already been traded twice before he's 25 years old kind of scares me a little bit and makes me think maybe this contract might not be the best thing for the Rams to do moving forward.
Yeah, well, you consider all the guys that they're about to have to either try and re-up or do something about after this current season because they have a bunch of dudes signed to one-year deals. It seems odd that they're committing this much money to a wide receiver who hasn't even stepped on the field for them. But then again, Brandon Cooks is a guy who three of his 4 years in the league, he's gotten over 1,000 yards receiving. He has a ton of touchdowns scored as well.
Yep.
According to all reports out of L.A., he's been a very stand-up dude and somebody who has fit in very well with the franchise since he came to California. So I guess it makes sense from that regard. If you think he's a transcendent receiver for you, somebody who's going to be Jared Goff's go-to guy, that you try and lock him up. How about this summer for Brandon Cooks, by the way? Got married 2 weeks ago, and now signs this deal as well. He's having a pretty good month.
Yeah, no doubt. But you talked about the guys the Rams will have to ink up in the near future. Ndamukong Suh's got 1 year left on his deal. Aaron Donald, obviously the big one, the reigning defensive player of the year.
Yep.
We're still trying to figure out what's going to happen with that guy's contract. Let's see, who else is on there? Bryce Hager is on the list as well. And Sam Shields, the safety that they've got. And eventually they'll have to pay Jared Goff.
Peters as well, yeah.
And eventually they'll have to pay Todd Gurley. So interesting. Mm-hmm. A little bit of a risk, a little bit of a gamble taken on by the Rams, but that's out there. 5 years, $80 million for Brandon Cooks. All right, Trey, it has not been the best year, maybe the best couple of years in terms of public relations for the National Football League. I think that's safe to say.
Mm-hmm.
National anthem issues have been a problem. Off the field arrests, suspensions have been a problem. People have talked about the lower television ratings. That has been a problem. Whatever the hell Papa John's is doing has been a problem for the National Football League. It appears over the last year the NFL has taken a hit, like a Ray Lewis type of hit, in terms of popularity and in terms of success.
Well, image isn't everything.
Man, the words of Lee Corso, not so fast, my friends. The finance report of the Green Bay Packers has been released, and Green Bay is the only NFL team that has to publicly report its finances because it's the only team owned by the fans. Kind of a cool bit that the Packers do. The only sports team owned by fans. And, hey, it's a great way for fans across the National Football League to get information about what's going on sort of behind the scenes with the organizations. Well, the Green Bay Packers' finances were released, and the total revenue for the fiscal year ending March 31st totaled $454.9 million, which is a 3.1% jump from last year's, which was already a team record, $441 million.
Per team?
This is just Green Bay.
Wow.
This is just Green Bay. And the Packers' revenue has now increased every year since 2003. So it looks like the NFL has taken some hits on the chin, and they're not handling situations as well as I think most fans or a lot of fans out there would like in terms of, you know, off-the-field stuff and national anthem stuff and player safety stuff. Those are all issues. Those are all topics of debate. And that seemingly, as you said, the image is that the NFL is taking a hit and starting to struggle and starting to lose some steam. But money talks. It's a business. And the money is coming in.
The NFL distributed more than $8 billion in national revenue in 2017.
Wow.
$8 billion.
Yeah, Goodell is laughing to the bank.
You mentioned how much per team with what Green Bay brought in. It is a 4.9% increase in national revenues, and much of that is attributed to the league's TV deals. So even though some fans are fed up and tired of what's going on with the NFL, they're tuning in a little bit less, that doesn't affect the NFL's bottom line nearly as much as it does the individual networks carrying those games. The NFL already has its TV deals in place. They have their set money coming in. There may be some small bonuses here and there based on figures, but I feel like a lot more of that falls onto the onus of Fox, of NBC, of ABC and ESPN, and also to CBS as well. So the NFL is sitting very pretty right now, despite all of the negative publicity that you just listed that's come out over the last few years.
And that's why all the owners love Roger Goodell. Maybe, yep, except for Jerry Jones, because of the whole Zeke situation. But before the Zeke situation, Jerry Jones was also a staunch supporter of the commissioner, yep, Roger Goodell. Right? He's not a man of the people. The fans don't like him. I don't think the players like him a whole lot. But as long as the money's coming into the wallets of the owners, to the wallets of the teams, all is well in the NFL.
They're almost boycott-proof. Like, there's only one thing that could really hurt the NFL right now, and it is something that I've actually read a little bit more about over the last couple of months, and that is a potential work stoppage. Because a lot of players are fed up with the fact that more of their contracts are not guaranteed, and I totally understand that. Of all the major professional sports, it makes the least sense that the NFL's contracts are the ones that are not guaranteed.
Yeah,
right?
The NFL brings in the most money.
By far.
And you got baseball players. We're talking about Bryce Harper getting a $400 million contract. And Brandon Cooks like makes $80 million over 5 years. And we're saying that might be too much for the guy.
Yep.
You know, the best players in football, I mean, those dudes are risking their lives out there, number one. That should be number two. Number one, the NFL brings in more money than any other sports league. They've got the ability to pay the players more than any other sports league, yet they don't. So I understand. You know, it's weird. People get upset. Oh, these dudes are making tens of millions of dollars. How can they possibly complain? Well, when you look at what's going on in the other sports, it's hard to dispute some of these NFL players getting fed up with the lack of money that's going in their pockets, especially when you see how much is going into the pockets of the owners.
It's all very relative, isn't it?
It is. How about this from Forbes? They released their most valuable sports franchises list. Once again, they do this every year.
Can I guess?
Yes, sir.
Cowboys?
Of course. $4.8 billion.
Oh, my gosh.
With a B. How about that? The value of the Dallas Cowboys.
You know what? After being up at the Ford Center, a.k.a. the Star, the start of this week. I can believe it.
That's all I have to brag about as a Cowboys fan. We're worth more than you. We might not win as much as you, but we're worth more than you are.
Boy,
so
that is
screw you.
That is such a City of Dallas brag point, too, isn't it?
If I actually meant that, you would be right. You would be 100% right. All right, Trey, let's transition over to the college game.
Yes, Larry Fedora decided to talk about the state of the game yesterday at ACC Media Days, and it really got him on a roll, got him on a tangent that led to more questions being asked. And ultimately, Larry Fedora actually had to meet with the media again to clarify what was said. So we're going to start at the beginning here. Larry Fedora started talking about how football is the greatest game, how it is a much changed game from many, many years ago, and how the game is potentially under attack.
I do believe we're involved in the greatest game there is on earth. I really do. And I do believe it's what makes our country so great. And I mean, I'm passionate about that. And the things that we change year in and year out and tweaking the game for player safety, all of those things, I think are good for the game. And I said it in there. I think the game is safer right now than it's ever been in the history of the game. That doesn't mean you're going to eliminate all the injuries. It's not possible. But the game is better than it's ever been. And I believe the game's under attack right now. I really do. And if we're not careful, you know, we're going to lose what the game is all about.
I agree with a lot of what Larry Fedora had to say right there.
Yeah,
football
absolutely.
Is the greatest game. It is a game that has become much safer throughout the years. But in terms of the whole under attack thing, I don't know how under attack it is from football fans. Sure, there are people lobbing criticisms at aspects of the NFL, also college football as well, specifically in college football, the fact that players can't make money off of name and likeness. That's something that hopefully changes in the next few years. But in terms of people specifically going after and trying to kill the game of football, I don't think I agree with North Carolina coach Larry Fedora.
Yeah, it's under attack. That's an interesting way to phrase it. People like myself are worried about the future of football. All right, we're making some pretty significant changes. We're seeing it in the NFL with the whole kickoff rule changes this year. And that just sort of feels like, okay, we are on our way to eliminating the kickoff play altogether. Mm-hmm. Whether it's 5 years, whether it's 10 years, 20 years, who knows? But that is a pretty drastic change to the game. And we always talk about, look, if you're a defensive player, I feel bad for defensive players. You're taught to just hit somebody, right? That's the old law of the land when it comes to football. Just knock the guy down. Knock him out if you have to. Whatever you got to do, tackle the guy. And now you got to hit. You can't hit high. You can't hit above the shoulders. And you can't hit low, below the knees. You've got just a certain area you can hit. And there's all these rules against you. The game of football is changing now. It's good that it's changing. We're learning a lot about the game and player safety and, you know, how hits to the head and hits to certain parts of the body are bad for both short-term and long-term health. But the game is changing, and I am a little bit worried. I am a little bit concerned. It's why I'm very fearful that football will not exist by 2040. I'm very concerned that at some point we'll get to changes that we can't come back from. But to say it's under attack, that's a little bit extreme wordplay right there.
So with regards to this under attack concept, naturally, Fedora was asked, who's to blame for this?
I blame a groundswell of data that is tweaked one way or the other, because I can take the data and I can make it look one way. You can take the data and make it look another way. And whoever's presenting it is the one that gets to say so. And, you know, so are there some things that are negative about the game? Yeah, there's no doubt about that. But again, I think as you look over time, I can tell you just in my lifetime, from when I played the game early on to where we are today, here's a huge difference in the way the game is played and the way athletes are taken care of.
It's ironic Larry Fedora is talking about skewing data to fit the point that you're trying to make, because he keeps bringing up the fact that football has changed drastically from the time that he played the game to what it currently is in 2018. And yes, a lot of changes have been made, but is it far enough yet? Do we have enough in the way of equipment, enough in the way of technology, enough in the way of medical advice on the sidelines to make sure that we are trying to protect these players as much as humanly possible? That's something to be debated. But for Fedora to stand up there and say that information is being skewed, he's somebody who's skewing information right now to try and fit into his point.
Yeah. Do you have the audio of him comparing the state of football to the state of our country? Because that's the quote that's that's kind of causing some
controversy. Is that the one where he talked to the military?
Yeah, he does have that story about the military. And he also says, You know, quote, I fear that the game will be pushed so far to one extreme that you won't recognize the game 10 years from now.
That was the next quote, yeah.
That's what I worry about. And I do believe if it gets to that point that our country goes down too. How about that?
He did say that. And
so that's very extreme.
Yeah.
Talking about attack on football, that's one thing. But to say football's in trouble if we don't stop changing rules to kickoffs and other player safety things, the whole country's in trouble.
So part of the reason why he said that, BK, is because he had a conversation with a high-ranking member in the military a few years ago, and it helped plant the idea in his head.
A few years back, I had an opportunity to ask a three-star general, what is it that makes our country, our military, superior to every other military in the world? He was like, that's easy. We're the only football-playing nation in the world. Most of all of our troops have grown up, have played the game at some point in their life, at some level. And the lessons that they learn from that game is what makes us who we are.
So I want to turn to our resident military vet now to ask him this question. Wags, first off, you served for how many years?
10 years.
How many of your Marine brothers played football previously?
A good bit of us, but I mean,
how much of
football.
An impact did that have on the camaraderie that you guys had with one another?
I would go as far as the extreme of what Coach Fedora is saying here, but sure, we all had a team type of attitude when we came in there, and obviously it was probably built from team sports, I would assume.
Okay.
First of all, Coach Fedora and that military vet that he talked to are wrong. I mean, there's football is played in other sports. There are professional football leagues in other countries. So that's just wrong right there.
But the level that it's at here in America,
that's still a bad thing to miss right there.
No, you're right.
But yeah, I mean, I don't get this. I don't get the comparison. I don't get the anecdote that Larry Fedora is trying to use here to support his argument. It just doesn't make sense to me.
It is very far off.
Football, the country is fine without football. It is. And that's coming from some of the biggest football fans in the entire world. Like, America's not going down if we remove kickoffs from the sport over the next 10 years.
I'm actually more concerned about the three-star general that went to that analogy right away. You know, this is the guy that's supposedly leading our troops. Right. Go ahead, whatever.
That's an interesting point as well, Wags. And now to the last comment. So Fedora ended up coming back out to meet with the media afterwards to supposedly clarify some things. I guess there was an implication that football isn't as responsible for CTE as a lot of people claim it is. And Fedora pretty much doubled down by saying, actually, football and CTE are not something that should be as clearly connected as they are by so many people.
I'm not sure that anything is proven that football itself causes it. Now, we do know from what my understanding is that the repeated blows to the head cause it. So I'm assuming that every sport that you have, football included, could be a problem with that, right? As long as you've got any kind of contact, you could have that. That does not diminish the fact that the game is still safer than it's ever been in the history of the game, because we continue to tweak the game, you know, to try to make it safer for our players.
Larry Fedora, the fact that the game is safer does not mean that football is not as connected to CTE as people are claiming it is. That is, I mean, he is arguing a crazy person's viewpoint right now.
Yeah, that's a bad bit right there from Coach Fedora. And there hasn't been like 100% football causes CTE. That's not out there. But there is so much evidence that playing football eventually leads to long-term brain issues for a lot of people, which eventually turns into CTE. So to come out and publicly say that media days when everyone's paying attention, but it doesn't matter where you are. You're a high-profile college football coach. You're supposed to be a leader of men, and part of your job is to try to keep these dudes safe and use new technology and new equipment and teach guys techniques that keep them safe. For you to come out and act like, you know, football and CTE aren't linked at all, that's bad. It's a problem.
And he tried to say all sports have contact, not to the level that football does in terms of the repeated shots to the head.
Now, I will defend Larry Fedora, because I always try to bring both sides of each story that I could find. I can't defend what Larry Fedora said. That's not good. But I'm a believer that actions speak louder than words, and I saw an article on USA Today that for years now, Larry Fedora has worked with high-end scientists and neurologists and brain researchers to study this, to study the links between concussions and football and long-term brain health and concussions and football and that whole bit right there. And he has made a strong emphasis to always be on top of the newest equipment and technology that keeps his players safe. So actions there from Larry Fedora's past do say that he is a, I don't want to say pioneer, but that
concerned.
He is concerned and that he is actually in, according to his actions, on trying to keep his players safe. But a quote like this, I mean, I don't know how I can defend that. That's bad.
You're right about bringing that part of the conversation up, BK, and I do agree with that. Here's the issue with the technology that exists right now to help out with concussions. It's far from settled. The technology is still very much in an infancy sort of stage. So these high-tech helmets that you see teams having right now, they can help to a degree, but they can't tell you emphatically that a guy has just suffered a concussion or has not. They can tell you how many times he's hit his helmet on the opposition over a certain period of time. They can tell you the impact of those hits, but it can't tell you what each individual is feeling inside their noggin in terms of the brain banging around in the skull. That is something that is still very difficult to determine, and it is a case-by-case basis sort of thing. And we know how far off the technology is because they can't even tell if a guy has CTE until he is dead and they can actually look at his brain.
Right.
They're getting closer on that one, but they're still not there just yet.
Yeah, it was very inarticulately stated by Larry Fedora. I mean, he didn't come out.
Big word there.
Thank you. He didn't come out. That's like the whole Scrabble board. He didn't come out and say CTE is not a thing, right? He didn't say that there's no link whatsoever between football and CTE. He didn't say that football was totally safe, and nobody believes those things. But the way he worded it did give the appearance of Larry Fedora saying, yeah, football does not cause CTE. Like, there's no link there. That's just not true.
He's being a little bit too dismissive of it. Clearly, he cares enough that he's trying to implement certain technologies and having conversations with neurologists and things like that. But you can't go there, Larry. Come on.
How about this? Coming up in about half an hour, at the top of the hour, we will talk to Dan Wolkin of USA Today. I know, a fan favorite amongst Longhorn fans right there. He wrote a pretty harsh article about what Larry Fedora had to say yesterday. I'll read you the headline as sort of a teaser far in advance. The headline from USA Today, "Fire North Carolina's Larry Fedora if he can't acknowledge dangers of CTE." So we'll talk to Dan about that, some of the other happenings from media days across the country, and get his thoughts on the Texas Longhorns. That's coming up at noon, but we're out of time for this segment. Coming up next, our man Wags Across the Glass will lead us through Tinder Time. We'll give our thoughts on the Manny Machado trade, some more NFL conversation, and whatever Wags has cooking. That's next on the Midday Show. This is The Horn.
Back here on Midday with Trey and BK. Tinder Time coming up in just a few minutes. In the meantime, a couple of Longhorn athletics-related notes to pass along. First off, Colin Johnson, named to the Biletnikoff Award watch list. Of course, that award goes to the best wide receiver in college football each and every year. Just a watch list, not the final thing necessarily, so we could see LJ Humphrey on that list before it's all said and done.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Texas basketball, they're playing in a tournament, a Thanksgiving Day and Day After tournament in Vegas. It is the Continental Tire Las Vegas Invitational, and they've actually announced the opponents and start times for those games on Thursday, November 22nd. Of course, that is Thanksgiving Day. Tip time is 6:30 for Texas and North Carolina, BK.
How about that?
And the following game is Michigan State and UCLA, and whoever wins or loses ends up playing the other one the following day, too.
We all remember the last time Texas and North Carolina met on a basketball court. It was here at the Irwin Center.
That was a thrilling game.
And one Javon Felix, did he get the shot off in time? One of sports' greatest mysteries.
Much like with Charlie Strong and that win over West Virginia his very first year, a lot of people felt like that was Shaka Smart's signature win in year one.
I'll give Shaka that. It was a better win than beating West Virginia at home, beating number 3 North Carolina.
Yes, it was.
I will defend Shaka on that one. Great game. Yeah, Javon Felix, the game-winning jumper at the buzzer. I wasn't there. I mean, I rarely missed a Texas basketball game. I was in Dallas watching at home for some reason, some birthday or something I had to deal with, but that would be cool to have that replicated. North Carolina is going to be one of the best teams in the country. Once again, it'll be a good test for the Horns and some good watching for your Thanksgiving festivities this year. God, we're like 80-something days away from college basketball. Maybe, no, we're 60-something days away from college basketball. We all got the countdown going for college football, and of course, this is a football town, and as much of a basketball junkie as I am, I'm way more looking forward to the return of college and NFL football, but college basketball, right around the corner.
And that Friday, November 23rd, is going to be a big day for Texas sports, too, because not only do we have Texas facing off with either Michigan State or UCLA, but Texas and Kansas play on that Friday as well, live in Lawrence at 11 a.m.
Is that Friday or is it that Saturday?
It's the Friday. I just double-checked.
Okay, good call. Oh, 11 a.m. on Friday after Thanksgiving.
You sure you're going to be up for that one?
I don't know.
You still have family in Kansas.
Yeah, but most of my family, I'm sure, will be down in the Houston-Galveston area, and I like the Thanksgiving turkey that my parents put together, so I'll probably miss that one.
Dude, the weather in Lawrence at that time of year as well.
Come on, I'm trying to go to the Wheel and the Hawk, all those bars that all the college kids go to. Great places. Good.
You are running out of time to go to those bars before you're considered the old guy in the bar.
Don't say that. I already feel like the old guy. I've got the soul of an 120-year-old. I think my soul's older than Richard Overton's, dude.
When was the last time you were at Dirty Sixth? I mean, are you starting to transition more towards West 6th and Rainy Street than you are Dirty 6th?
Not by my choice.
Okay.
More by the choice of the crew that I'm around, but yes.
Thank goodness for your friends.
Last time I was on Dirty 6th, I think, was like graduation night. I just kind of relived the glory days. I had some buddies who were graduating and friends' brothers who were 2 years younger than me. And hit Dirty 6th, man. It was a great time. Everyone's wearing their cap and gown. I almost wore mine just for fun. And acted like I was one of them. Just pull out the old cap and gown from the closet.
God, please play Facebook Live, Matt, if you do it next December or the following spring.
No Dirty 6th Facebook Lives will ever be happening for the sake of my employment here.
That you know about.
Yeah, that I know about. All right, keep the text coming. Specs text line 337-3776. With all that being said, we're having some fun on a Thursday. It's time to toss it across the glass to our man Wags, a little bit of Tinder time.
Sponsor!
Tinder time is brought to you by Altstadt Brewery. Altstadt beer, it is German beer made here. The best beer you could find in Central Texas. Dude, it's 103 degrees today. It's 104 tomorrow. Get you some beer. Plus, it's almost the weekend. If you're grilling out, chilling by the pool, chilling out at the lake, whatever you're doing, you need a beer to join you on these hot Central Texas summer days. Make that beer Altstadt beer. No impurities, no regrets.
Wags, what's the first headline today?
Falcons won't give Julio Jones a raise in 2018, and they hope he reports to camp.
Swipe right.
Yeah.
This is just stupid, all right? This dude is 2 years into his 5-year deal, right, which is reportedly $71.25 million. At the time that he signed and got this extension, he was the highest wide receiver in the league, right? And now, because everybody else is getting the league, he wants more money. Julio, you are 2 years into your deal. You got 3 years left on this term. I'm sorry. Now, the Falcons did sit there and say that they did make room to budget in 2018 after the season to allot for a raise for Julio Jones, but he's basically being like a spoiled little brat here, and he wants money now. He wants to be paid the highest wide receiver of this year and forego this contract that he's got, or the extension that he's in right now. Is this prima donna status or what, guys?
You know, it's funny because in the last segment we just talked about how NFL players kind of have the right to complain with how little money they're making. It's also weird to call it little money. But when you look at Major League Baseball and the NBA, you know, those dudes are making way more. And those contracts are way more guaranteed than what you get in the NFL. So I understand at times NFL players being upset with the lack of money that they make. But this is very diva. This is very wide receiver-like from Julio Jones. Dude, you can't do this. You can't sign a massive extension and then 1 year into it start complaining and looking for a new one. I get doing that maybe 1 year before it's done.
Yeah.
You're looking for more money. You're looking for some stability. But come on, man.
I would hope this is just a strategy of them kind of building up to actually being serious about this whole bit. Like, they start talking a little bit about it right now with 3 years left on the deal. With 2 years left, they talk about it a little bit more in the summer. And when it actually gets to that final year is when you have the true beef to actually try and get something more done.
He's already skipped. He missed the mandatory minicamp. He did not come. But, I mean, that's just the minicamp, though.
Minicamps aren't as big of a deal. If he starts missing days of training camp, then that becomes a big issue. And at that point, they're just going to fine his ass.
Yeah, here's your nugget right there. Good point, Trey. He being Julio Jones, subject to a $40,000 fine per day missed of training camp. So if he does decide to hold out, now, I can't even call 40 grand pocket change. That's not pocket change for anybody. Maybe Jeff Bezos. That might be the only dude where 40 grand is pocket change. But we'll see what happens. Playing a little hardball. We see this in the NFL all the time. In sports, all the time. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, guys trying to make more money. But it is very diva-like to do this 2 years into a huge contract extension that you just got.
No doubt. Next headline, Wags.
All right. The Orioles trade Manny Machado.
Hey! Sounds like an abused puppy dog reading this story right now.
To the L.A. Dodgers for 5 prospects in return.
Swipe right.
Yes, I'm in. Swipe right.
I'm out.
You're out. All right. That's all you got?
All right. Now, the Orioles did. They completed the deal, trading Manny Machado to the Los Angeles Dodgers. In return, getting one of the top prospects, Yusniel Diaz, an outfielder who just has tremendous capabilities to actually be a good prospect here. The other 4 guys, I'm not really thrilled about here. We're looking at two. I felt that they needed at least some arms out of the deal. The Orioles did, right? They did get 2 right-handed pitchers, relievers. You get Kramer, and you also get Zach Pop, Dean Kramer and Zach Pop. But the third baseman Bannon might be the Ryland Bannon might be the only other prospect that actually pans out. This to me is. A lot of this 5 prospects is just a bunch of smoke. Really, they only got Diaz, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's always wait and see mode for these trades, right? Yusniel Diaz, that's a good return right there for what could be a rent a player in Manny Machado.
At least it's something, though, right?
Yeah, Diaz hit 2 homers in the Futures game over the weekend. That's going up against the top prospects in all of baseball, and Yusniel Diaz really showed out. So he's got a chance to be a special player in Major League Baseball for a while. Zach Pop, that's a pretty cool name, at least. Even if that guy sucks, you've got that going for you. My question to you, though, Trey, does this make the Dodgers, once again, the favorites in the National League? They don't have the best record in the NL right now, but they are in first place. They had a strong late first-half push. They are a half game up over the D-bags of Arizona. With the acquisition of Manny Machado, are the Dodgers now the team to beat in the NL?
Depends on what Clayton Kershaw is giving you in the second half of the season. With a healthy Clayton Kershaw, yeah, I think that is probably the case. At the very least, I'm guessing that you'll see the Cubs and Dodgers squaring off again. The NLCS.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Dodgers were already a team that was starting to turn things around over the last couple of months, and this clearly strengthens their lineup that much more. Just imagine once they get Seager back into the fold as well.
That's next year, though.
That's true. That is next year. I forgot about that.
We don't know if Machado will be there next
year.
You assume they'll try to re-sign Machado. They'll find a way.
They'll try.
I mean, if he wants to stay there, they've got the money to pay him.
Yeah, exactly. If you have him now, I think you have a good chance at retaining him, I would think.
Well, but this is more of a stopgap, I think, for Seager than anything else.
Agreed.
They would like to re-sign him, but they're not dead set on re-signing him to continue moving forward. And credit the Dodgers again. They did this with Yu Darvish last year of going out and getting a guy who can have a positive impact on your roster for the rest of the season that you may or may not be able to bring back the following year, that you're not having to give up, pun intended, I guess, the farm to get that guy. Yes, he is a little bit of a rental player, but they did not have to give up too many of their highly touted arms or highly touted prospects to get him. They got to keep some of their bigger name players. They only had to give up 1 starter in this deal. That's Dean Kramer, who's starting at AA right now, but really only 1 primetime prospect to get one of the best hitters in baseball.
Yeah, they got to keep their top 3 prospects, and Walker Buehler, who's already been called up by the Dodgers pitching in the big leagues. All those guys stay put.
Verdugo and Ruiz as well.
But hey, the Orioles, and they got what they could. That was the best deal. That was the best offer they got. Manny Machado not going to re-sign there long term.
He's not a Yankee. That's all that matters right now for me.
That's true, too.
He might be in a
few
months. You never know. All right. What do we do? Should we go one more here?
One more? Give us a headline. We'll decide.
Cousins didn't give a bleep about reaction to him joining the Warriors.
Swipe left on that one.
That's the story right there.
Of course he doesn't care. You know, same thing with Durant. They don't care what other people think. They don't have to care what other people think. They're scrubs. They're soft. They don't like to compete. But it's their life. It's their choice. And they're going to win championship rings. All right, good stuff, Wags. There's Tinder Time brought to you by Altstadt Brewery. Coming up next, we'll pick up basketball talk. All you hoopsters out there, we got to discuss some pickup basketball etiquette. What's cool and what's not cool? What's fly, what's not fly on the basketball court when you're playing some pickup? We'll get to that. A reminder, top of the hour, Dan Wolkin of USA Today will join the program. We'll get back into that Larry Fedora discussion, and we'll talk some college football. We'll go around the country as well with Dan Wolkin. Plenty more to get to. Plus, on the other side, a Open Championship leaderboard update. Tiger Woods, y'all. Not a bad start to his opening round at the Open. We'll tell you how he's doing on the other side. It's the Midday Show. This is The Horn. Welcome back to the Midday program, Trey and BK, a Thursday edition of the show. Happy to have you on board. We appreciate y'all spending a couple of hours of your day with us. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us. We appreciate that. Quick Open Championship leaderboard update. The British Open at Carnoustie, the one that they call Carnasty. The leader, still Kevin Kisner. He is in the clubhouse for the day, shot a 5-under 66. He is in sole possession of first place right now. One shot ahead of Tony Finau, Xander Lombard, and Eric Van Rooyen, a couple of South Africans, and of course Finau the American. Those dudes are one shot back at 4-under par. You've got a few guys two shots back at 3-under, including Justin Thomas and Francesco Molinari. Let's see, who else is in the mix here? John Rahm is at 2-under. Rory McIlroy at 2-under, and as promised, your Tiger Woods update. Tiger Woods at 2-under par through 8. Woods 3 shots back of the lead. For you Texas Longhorn fans, Jordan Spieth done for the day. He shot a 1-over 72, 6 shots back of Kevin Kisner's lead. Trey.
Thank you very much for that update, BK. Now it is time for us to get to something. It's not our usual Thursday bit. Normally at this time, we're reviewing a movie. We'll be doing so next Thursday with Dude, Where's My Car?
Oh, we're doing it.
Trying really hard to run down either Ashton Kutcher and or. I'll put an and or there because we'll have both these guys on if possible. Sean William Scott as well.
And a lot of drugs to make this
now?
Movie
What's
more
Sean
entertaining.
What's Sean William Scott doing now?
I don't know, man. He was one
yes,
of those guys who was very,
awesome.
Very funny back in
he
the day.
He was it for like... for a decade.
He was good in Goon. He was great in American Pie.
Road Trip?
Apparently good in Dude, Where's My Car as well. Great in Road Trip, too. I don't know. Maybe we'll be able to get him on.
The Rundown? Wasn't he in The Rundown? With The Rock?
Yes, that was a good movie. I like that one a lot, too. So we'll see if we can get one of those two guys on the show. Otherwise, we'll figure something out. No doubt about that. Mm-hmm. But instead, today, we're going to talk about this story that comes out of Virginia, where cops were called to an LA Fitness in Virginia after a couple guys got into it during a pickup basketball game. And I actually have audio from the cop cam of this police officer talking to these two guys about what happened and trying to come up with a solution in terms of what needs to happen going forward.
I'm not going to have one straight down and elbow me in the
And I'm not going to take your pussies in the back either.
Okay. I know, but that's,
and they call me a bitch right afterwards, too. That was what you
call it, yeah.
Sounds to me like some normal basketball shit. That's all it is.
Oh, it's not normal basketball shit. But I mean,
is there something where you want me to have charges pressed against this man?
No, because I don't want retaliation. That's the only problem.
So what do you want me to do?
Can I get kicked out just today, or?
That's not my. I don't own this place.
Yeah, y'all really gonna put this on me?
That's up to you. I don't matter to me either way. If you want me to go home for the day, that's fine.
I'm gonna make it fair. Both go home for the day.
Why would I go home?
I heard both sides of the story. But y'all can either say this now, or y'all just let it go, and y'all enjoy the rest of the day. Or if y'all don't want to let it go, y'all can both just take the rest of the day off.
So essentially, that was kind of difficult to figure out what was going on right there. I condensed it a little bit too much. The cop comes up, finds out what happened with the two guys. One guy set a hard screen on the other guy. Sets the screen, kind of moving into the guy, a little bit of a moving screen, but it's pickup basketball. The guy who gets screened is upset, so when the screener turns away, he shoves him, calls him a bitch, and when they're heading back up the court, the dude who got shoved and called a bitch gives a little bit of an elbow to the chops, or to the side of the head, one of the two, depending on who you believe. So the cop comes up. He says, well, you say this guy elbowed you in the head. That is that can be considered assault. Do you want to file charges? The guy says no. So he says, all right, well, what do you want me to do then? The guy who gets elbowed tells the cop, can't you just kick him out for the rest of the day? And then that's that. And the cop says, no, I can't kick him out for the rest of the day. I'm not the owner of this business.
So did you really just call me to get a guy kicked out of a basketball gym at the YMCA?
Exactly.
You called me for that?
So at that point, they have to turn to the manager who's like, are you guys seriously trying to drag me into this nonsense now? So he's like, all right, if I'm having to choose this, both you guys are done for the day. And the guy who was the recipient of the elbow, but who also shoved the dude in the back and called him a bitch, is like, I don't think that's very fair. So first off, kudos to the cop for handling the situation pretty well.
Yes.
Neither of these guys were white dudes, and we all know the reputation of things in 2018, sometimes deserved, but in this situation, for the cop to handle things in a very calm manner when clearly dudes were worked up about something, good job on that one, officer.
What a mess.
Secondly, what a bitch the dude was who got screened, shoved the guy in the back, called the guy a bitch, and then had to face a repercussion for it. Shame on you for that, and shame on you for having the gumption to try and tell the cop to kick the dude out of the club for the day.
Dude just gave him like a flying by elbow without even looking, man.
A fly by elbow.
They called the cops? Were the cops called, or did one of them like, oh, he said too hard of a screen, I'm calling the cops?
It was the gym that called the cops, because apparently they were like getting into it after that. They were probably, you know, nose to nose with one another, but ultimately nothing happened. A game was going on in the background, so clearly they had gotten beyond it at that point. But dude was still worked up because he felt like, even though he kind of perpetuated the incident after the initial screen, that he was on the receiving end of something that he should not have had to deal with.
Yeah, that's why I'm a little hesitant to play pick up basketball with dudes who are way better than me, because I number one, I'm not that good. I'm not good. I don't know why I said that as if I'm like a good player, but I don't take it very seriously. Like, I don't just jack around and travel and whatever, but I'm not like diving for loose balls.
No,
I'm not losing my mind. Like, if I get beat on a play, whatever, it's no big deal. I'll mess around. I understand that it's pickup basketball, and this game means absolutely nothing to any of us. But this is just ridiculous, man. Calling the cops or getting the cops called because a screen was set and asking the cop to kick somebody out of the gym. I mean, that's an extreme that I haven't seen before. I've seen people yell and get mad at each other playing pickup, but eventually the other eight players on the court are able to kind of resolve the situation, and that's that. This is childish from these dudes out here.
So this leads to some questions about common etiquette in pickup basketball. BK and Wags, I want you in on this one as well, because I think you're the only one of the three of us who still plays pickup basketball at this point in your life. So the number one rule for me above all others is that if it's half-court basketball, it's make it freaking take it. There are no exceptions to this rule. Make it take it in half-court basketball. Do you guys agree?
Yep, and winner outs.
Winner outs, too.
I don't have, I feel like I generally don't play make it, take it, but I don't have any disagreements with it at all if you're playing the half-court game. That's fair.
Question on uniforms now, guys. How far is a dude allowed to take the uniform? Are you allowed to get into the full Texas Longhorns get-up if you really want to?
No.
Not allowed?
Shirts and skins.
Shirts and skins is allowed?
Skins
is allowed?
Because
I know some guys that don't like the opposition going skins, especially if that dude is a profuse sweater.
Yeah.
It's like you're playing against Gary Patterson or something. That's probably not cool.
I mean, if you're playing like 3-on-3, you should be able to recognize who's on your team. But if you are playing 5-on-5, that's a lot of dudes on the court. Sometimes you need a way to distinguish who's on your team and who's on the other team.
Headbands and wristbands, are those okay?
I don't love them. I don't love them. I don't know why you would need those.
The AI elbow band.
Yeah, the shooting sleeve. I have seen a rise in shooting sleeves over the pickup basketball game the past couple of years. That's a little bit ridiculous.
Those are the high spoilers of the pickup basketball world.
If you're over-accessorized, I will not pick you.
Yeah,
you are not just
Don't be coming in here with like Jason Terry high socks or the leggings that a lot of these players wear. I mean, you look ridiculous. Like, what is this?
How about knowing your skill level? Now, there are varying degrees of skill level on the basketball court, but say, like, you see a bunch of former Longhorn football players balling at a gym north or south of town. Do you try and hop into that game, even though clearly there is a discrepancy in athleticism, or do you say, you know what, I'm probably not right for this game because, one, I'm smaller than everybody, two, I'm the worst athletically inclined of all these people as well?
Yeah, I generally won't take part in that game. If I can just kind of tell the competition's a little bit too tough. And that's, you know, that has to be from watching the game before.
Absolutely.
Because there's dudes who are taller than me.
You always scout it out.
Right, who look worse. I mean, I always go back to the office, right, when they play that pickup basketball game and Michael Scott's got the first pick and he chooses Stanley because he's a brother.
Yeah.
And Stanley is like the worst guy there.
Yep.
So just off of judging a book by its cover, I'm not going to do that on the court. But if I see the game before and I'm like, wow, these dudes, some of these guys had to have played college basketball before. like at least D2 or D3 yep. or something, I'm generally going to sit that one out for the sake of them more than the sake of me.
Definitely no cheap crap in pickup basketball. No Grayson Allen nonsense,
no blood,
tripping,
no foul.
Things like that. No, there is. No, I don't agree with that because
yeah,
you can have fouls without blood, but you have to be careful about the fouls and certainly no offensive fouls as well, guys.
No fouls called on jump shots unless the other players can hear the slap. I don't want like, oh, he got my fingers on the follow through.
Yeah, tips don't matter, man.
I don't want to hear that he didn't let me land. Nah. Come on, save that garbage for the NBA. We're not doing that.
You guys okay with snowbirding, a.k.a. cherry picking, where a dude just basically either leaves one end of the court early or stays on the other end to get the easy bucket?
Nah, if your fat ass is out of shape, get off the court.
Get
Let
off
somebody
the
else
damn
get
court.
There, man.
Also, no ball hogging. Pass the damn basketball. We don't like the guy who turns into the black hole every time the basketball ends with him. He thinks he can go one-on-one, Kyrie Irving style, take the ball to the bucket and ends up missing every time. That's not okay.
And then when he waves you off, I got this, man, I got this.
Most importantly, guys, before we get to the break here, because Dan Wolkin's on the other side, when you're playing pickup basketball, does the score go by ones and twos, assuming that there's a three-point line, or twos and threes?
Ones and twos.
Yeah, ones and twos.
On ones and twos as well.
It's got to be the bit. It's got to be it. Good stuff right there. A little pickup basketball etiquette. Let us know your thoughts.
Dude, let's go invade Lifetime.
Something tells me if you defend the shooting sleeve, then you, in fact, are a shooting sleeve wearer out there, and that's ridiculous.
And this person has weighed in on the Specs text line before we hit the break here. Unwritten rule of pickup basketball, you can't play zone defense. Had
Whoa.
Some group 2 weeks ago trying to do that to us.
Why
it was
not?
Infuriating.
It's good for a breather, right? Can't you do like
shots.
Two trips down for a breather?
It's man-to-man basketball. This isn't the freaking Golden State Warriors we're talking about. Here's a bunch of random scrubs trying to play basketball. Don't make
no
them shoot
problem.
From the outside.
No problem with the zone. Pass through. Hit your jumpers. Come on, there's plenty of open mid-range J's there. Hit them.
This person says
Work
Chad,
the ball diagonally.
Chad Hastings' biggest fear in life has to be playing pickup basketball, being on the Skins team.
Oh, yeah.
Because he swims with the T-shirt on. That he says nobody wants to see that.
No, that's an interesting bit also, the T-shirt swim. I don't quite get that one. All right, send in your text, pickup hoops etiquette, 337-3776. I better not hear any of these stories in Austin. I shouldn't say that as if I'm going to do anything, but that would be very disappointing. Don't get the cops called to pick up basketball. Have fun out there. All right, coming up next, Dan Wolkin of USA Today will join the program, a fan favorite here in Austin, Texas. He wrote an interesting article, very harsh article, if I may, about what Larry Fedora, the head football coach of North Carolina, had to say yesterday at ACC Media Days. We will talk to Dan about that, plus some other college football from around the nation. That's coming up next on the Midday Show. This is The Horn.